Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. America has experienced still another setback to terrorism. The country of Liberia suffered the loss of its distinguished president, William Tolbert, a Baptist minister, assassinated in the pre-dawn hours of April 12, 1980. Together with 27 of his colleagues, he was murdered, the bodies of the victims dumped into a mass grave. The country of Liberia on the west coast of Africa was patterned after that of the United States. The Americo-Liberians, as they were called, were the majority ruling party. As one reporter pointed out, the Liberian flag is the star and stripes. The money is the dollar. The religion, old-time Baptist and Methodist. And the system of government, American presidential. That now has been changed. A group of non-commissioned army men led by Master Sergeant Samuel K. Doe broke into the presidential palace, killed Tolbert, and simply took over the country. What's the explanation? Why these acts of barbarism? Why the terrorism of recent days? According to a report by the RAND Corporation, there have been 42 terrorist assaults on diplomatic missions since 1971, with almost half of them having taken place within the past 2 years. Is the world becoming an infested jungle? Are we beset by marauding gunmen looking for their prey like sportsmen hunting rabbits? Brian Jenkins, specialist on terrorism for the RAND Corporation, says, "Embassy invasion is fast becoming in the 80s what skyjacking was in the 70s. Well, Time magazine points out, American embassies, symbol of imperialism, are special targets of leftist zealots. It notes the State Department lists 254 significant terrorist attacks against U.S. diplomatic installations or individuals in the past decade. Why are embassies and diplomats such popular terrorist targets? Where is the respect that was once maintained that allowed for a foreign embassy to operate with immunity from local laws and regulations within another country? The seizure of the American embassy in Tehran, for example, constituted a violation of the principles spelled out in the Vienna Convention of 1961, ratified by 131 nations, including Iran. And so our government felt justified in seeking to rescue the hostages that were held by militants in a violation of international law. Upon the failure of the mission to rescue the American hostages, we were interrogated by a local television station as to our evaluation of events, particularly from a prophetic and biblical standpoint. My friends, we believe we're living in the period the Bible calls the last days, when our Lord is soon to come. Jesus said concerning the day of his coming that iniquity would abound. Another word for iniquity is lawlessness. What we are seeing today is a disregard for law and order. Lawlessness. Enrico Giacchia, a noted Italian political scientist, comments on our misfortune in Tehran, saying, "We assume that the Western principle of diplomatic immunity could be applied everywhere in the Third World. In other words, we wanted to export our way of life, and it did not work." Well, we're living in a different day, when diplomacy no longer has the respect it once had. Several years ago, Joseph Cardinal Menzenti sought and received the safety of the U.S. legation in Budapest for 15 years, but respect for such embassy protection today is lacking in many places. In fact, terrorism has become a new word for freedom for those who would scorn our laws and our traditions. As a former U.S. ambassador complains, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. The Apostle Paul spoke of one coming in the end time called the Lawless One. He would be the embodiment of lawlessness. concerning the day of the Lord. Paul wrote under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, or the lawless one, be revealed, the son of perdition." Writes Paul, "For the mystery of iniquity, or lawlessness, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked or lawless one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Ah, did you hear it? Pat Robertson, in one of his publications, says if his dating is even close, and if Antichrist is still to come, then we must conclude that there is a man alive today approximately 27 years old who is now being groomed to be the satanic Messiah. And what we are seeing is an era of lawlessness predicted in the Word of God. Much of this lawlessness is communist-inspired. Men like Castro of Cuba symbolize the lawless one seen coming. However, anti-terrorism expert Robert Kupperman says, Tehran would never happen to the Soviets. If it did, they would wipe out a hunk of the city, even if they lost everybody in their embassy. Why then is the greatest nation on the face of the earth subject to ridicule? Why did the mission to rescue the hostages fail? What is the reason for our reverses? We think of what God told the children of Israel in the days of Moses, that if they diligently hearkened unto the voice of the Lord and kept his commandments, they would be blessed above all people of earth. If not, if they failed to heed and to keep God's laws, then they would suffer plagues and pestilences, woes and judgments. Later, Isaiah recounts what happened. He quotes the Lord as saying, "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Notice first his description of Israel saying, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord." What happens when a nation forgets God? Isaiah recounts their dilemma saying, "Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." Then finally notice the remedy for Israel's plight. We read, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. If ye be willing and obedient," we read, "ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." When our Lord was on earth, there were multitudes that followed him. At the feeding of the loaves and fishes, there were 5,000 men beside women and children. Now, with that many people in Galilee at the time our Savior walked this earth, you would think that the increase in population through the centuries would find those areas thickly populated today. Instead, as the Lord had warned, the country is desolate. The land is largely without inhabitant in areas that were once thickly populated. Now, what are we saying? If we've forgotten God, we're due for adversity. If we have turned to our own way, living selfishly, without sharing, without giving thanks, we are due for some shocking developments. As God told Moses to tell Israel, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst, in nakedness and in want of all things." Ah, my friend, it pays to serve the Lord. To love him, to serve him, to keep his commandments brings peace, protection, prosperity. Whereas to fail to serve the Lord will bring want and misery, even destruction from our enemies. Listen yet to what Malachi writes. He quotes the Lord as saying, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." And one of the ways to return to the Lord is to pay him what we rightfully owe him. We read, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Ah, listen, the answer is heard in tithes and offerings. Have we ever thought that our adversity might be the result of robbing God? On the other hand, when we give to him that which is rightfully his and more, our tithes and offerings, look what happens. "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Did you hear it? What else does the Lord promise of people who gives generously to his work? The Lord says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What else? Well, we read, all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Do all nations call us blessed? There are those in Iran who call America Satan because of our deteriorating morals, our immodest dress, our lewd films that we have sought to send abroad. To these nations we have become a blight instead of a blessing. Many of our allies have looked on in bewilderment and disbelief and dismay over the attempt to rescue the Americans left in Tehran. Why did the rescue mission fail, they ask? Why have we not been successful in getting the release of our hostages? Could it be God is trying to tell us something? For instance, to the people at Pergamos in the book of Revelation, our Lord says, Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. As we witness flagrant violation of God's laws, the breakup of the family by divorce, the desecration of his holy day, along with lying and cheating and stealing, we hear the voice of God saying, Repent, change your ways, or I will come and fight against thee. Have we ever felt God was fighting against us? Are the skies brass when we pray? Do our prayers seem to go unanswered? Could it be that we have never truly repented? Could it be that we have not fully trusted Christ as Savior and Lord? Could it be that we're still living our own life, doing our own thing, withholding our tithes and offerings, thus experiencing defeat instead of victory? Ah, the solution, my friends, is to repent, to turn from our sin, to trust the Savior. And the secret is to surrender to his sovereign will as revealed in his word, then to believe for total victory that keeps us in a state of readiness for the day when our Lord will come. Jesus is coming soon, and his admonition to one and all is, Be therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.